Well, as has already been said, we have a number who are visiting with us today, and we extend to you a warm welcome. We want you to know that what we have done in our services today, we do each Lord's Day, and we would invite you to come back and worship with us. And if by chance what we have done today seems curious to you, or you might have a question about that, we hope you would ask us so that we could look at book, chapter, and verse for why we worship the way we do. We do thank you for being here and hope you can be back again soon. If you would open your Bible to Luke chapter 15, I'm going to read in just a moment part of a parable that Jesus told on this occasion, Luke the 15th chapter. And I hope you'll follow along as we read from the Word of God, starting at verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. There Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they begin to be merry." Roger Shouse told me that when he first started preaching, he heard that Robert Jackson had 35 sermons on Luke 15. And he said, "I thought as a young preacher, how in the world could a guy have 35 sermons on one chapter?" And he said, "The more I studied, and the more I grew, and the more I preached," he said, "I thought to myself, how could one preacher only have 35 sermons on one chapter?" Well, today, I just hope to get two. There's a rest of the parable that we didn't finish reading, Jesus told. And if you're curious as to how that ends, I invite you back 6 o'clock tonight, where we'll talk about too good to be found. But these verses we did read, I've just chosen to call the gospel story. Because that's what they are. And that's what Jesus, the master teacher, paints. Now, we don't find that phrase, the master teacher, anywhere in the New Testament. We see it separately where Jesus is called master and teacher. But he was not just a masterful teacher, but the master teacher. And not because he did things that make preachers popular in our day. You won't find one verse where Jesus said, if you will contribute to my ministry, you'll have financial freedom the rest of your days. I mean, you'll live in luxury. He never promised that. Jesus did not have an entertainment group that followed him from city to city and village to village that would warm up the crowd, and then he would take the stage and give after-dinner stories, motivational speeches. That's not what made him the master teacher. In fact, if you look at everything Jesus taught, one-third of that material are parables. And again, his teaching in parables was not to entertain, but to cause people to understand, to take things from everyday life and understand a spiritual truth about his kingdom. And especially did he, the master teacher, want people to understand the gospel story. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, how would we come to be saved? Well, first, we have to know that sin is separation. Sin is separation. Jesus told a parable about a father who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the inheritance. Now you know, as a student of the Old Testament, that that was something that the father did just right before he died. He would bring his sons in and give the blessing to them. To the older son, he had the privilege of the birthright. So in this situation, the older son would get two-thirds and the younger son one-third. But what this younger son said in essence was, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want mine now. Give me the share of the estate that falls to me. We were eating at Burger King one day and just happened to have a seat by the drive-through window. We could see people after they got their food, and they were coming out past our window and going out onto Fairmont Parkway. And we became amused by car after car that came by our window, because it didn't matter if they were on the cell phone, if they were buckling their seatbelt, if they were passing something to the back seat, every one of them, the driver already had a fry hanging out of his mouth. They couldn't wait. And so it was with the younger son. He couldn't wait. And Jesus said not many days later, he went on a journey. He went away from his father's house. And don't you know, he thought he had it all figured out. I'm free. I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have to ask permission of when I go out and when I come in. I can be with whoever I want. I can do whatever I want. And he squandered his estate, Jesus said, with loose living. That's what prodigal means, wasteful. Excessive waste. He just watched it go right through his fingers, all the money. and he was trying to find satisfaction in the things of the world. And he never could find it. And he tried pleasure, and he tried to buy his friends. Later on, with harlots, and he couldn't find it. Because the only peace that comes in life is when we're in fellowship with God, to know we're in His hands and in His house. Sin is separation. Look at what he did on his journey. Verse 15, he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. That sound like freedom? The money was all gone, and now he's got to be enslaved. And not just any job. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Remember, this is probably a young Jewish boy who's been taught since he was little and now grown up in his family's heritage that swine are unclean animals. We're to be separate so that we can be holy to God. But sin has caused separation from God, and now he's joined himself with that which is unclean. So much so that he wished he could eat what he was feeding the pigs. Sin is separation. Albert Barnes says, the object of this image is to show the loathsome employment and deep degradation to which sin leads people. You think anybody plans for their life to go that way? When this boy was in junior high and the counselor came by and said, what do you want to be when you grow up? You think he checked the box that said feeding the swine? Sin is separation. It takes us farther than we intended to go. It takes us places we never dreamed we would end up. It takes us away from the people who love us the most. That's why we needed someone to come and seek and save that which was lost. This boy had hit rock. Sin is separation. The gospel story, number two, is that repentance is the decision to go home. You see, it's one thing to realize where you are and what you've done, but it's quite another to decide to do something about it. This boy woke up and saw where sin had taken him. And so we read in verse 17 that when he came to his senses, as the King James says, when he came to himself, went to visit one of our brothers years ago who had to be put in a special institution that helped with people with Alzheimer's. His family could not provide the care he needed anymore. He had become a danger to himself and to them. And he got to the point where he didn't even know his family when they would come visit him, like he had never seen them in his life. His daughter was devastated. The nurse told her, "You have to remember, he's not himself. It's not who he is." Well, this younger son came to himself. And in coming to himself, came to a decision. You know what I'm afraid a lot of people do? Is they wake up in the life of the pig pen and they say to themselves, "Well, the smell isn't all that bad. I think I can get used to this. Sure, it'll take some adjustment, but I think I can spend the rest of my life here. It'd be too hard to go back. I mean, think of all the people I told off when I left. Think of how far I'd have to crawl. I think I'll just make a home here." But not this son. He came to his senses and said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? There are slaves back home that have a better life than I do, and I'm the son. So I'm going to go home." And he said, "I'm not going to make any excuses. I will say to him in verse 18, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" There was a politician years ago who got caught in a tax evasion scandal. And they had all the documents. He was dead to rights. There was no way he was going to avoid prison time. But he still had to resign from office. And so he said to his constituents at that press conference, he said, "I want you all to know that I have committed no crime." Said, "What I did was fail to comply with the law." Now, somebody tell me what the difference is. "Well, Dad, I didn't think this all the way through. Boys will be boys. Father, I have sinned." His father was the one whom he had wronged. It would be his father's decision to accept him. And the same distance that he went away into a far country, the same distance he would have to cross again. And every bridge burned on the way out, he'd have to find a way to cross it on the way in. But he decided to go home. Even with such humility as to say, "Make me as one of your hired men. You don't even have to accept me back in the house. Just let me be one of the day-to-day servants. I'll show up every day and maybe you'll have work for me to do. I'm not even worthy of that." Repentance is the decision to go home. This must come from within, with who you are. This is not a sorrow because I got caught. This is not a sorrow because they're going to treat me this way if I don't do it. This is, I just want to be right with God again. I've been separated, and I want to be restored to our relationship. It's the gospel story. Unless you repent, Jesus said, you shall all likewise perish. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. The gospel story. Number three, salvation is in the house of the Lord. It's in the Father's house. That's where David wanted to go, wasn't it? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's because salvation is there. It's not out in the world. It's back home with our Father. You ever notice how Jesus started this parable differently than the other two stories in the chapter? What man among you, if he had 100 sheep and lost one, would do this? What woman among you, if she had 10 coins and lost one, would do this to find it? But notice that verse 11, he doesn't say, and what father among you, if he had 2 sons and lost one, would do this? And the reason is, because no father would behave the way this one did. At least not initially. Jesus said, while he was still a long way off, the Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't do that for our children. But don't you know it would come after the lecture? Well, look who's come dragging home. I bet you're out of money, aren't you? You thought you knew everything. You thought you knew what the world was like. Not this Father. My sisters and I had a German shepherd when we were growing up. And we went out to play with him one day, and he was lost. Wasn't anywhere we thought he would be, any place he liked to go. We searched all over. We even talked my mother, who hated this dog, to get in the car and drive us around calling his name out the window, thinking maybe he would hear us and be found. My sister Christy and I were in the back seat, and we were fuming mad. We had our arms crossed, and we said to one another, when that dog gets home, he's going to get the biggest whooping he's ever got. Got dark and Mom called off the search party. My sister and I were in tears. We started up the driveway to the house, and the headlight caught his eyes. He was sitting there probably wondering where we were. And we ran out of the car. And do you honestly think we spanked that dog? The Father saw what the world had done to his son. The disgrace and dishonor. And he said, we've got to remove that. And the son started his speech that he had prepared. And his dad would have none of that. He said, you bring not just a robe, you bring the best robe and put it on him. And you bring sandals for his feet and put a ring on his hand. These were all marks of a free man, not a slave. And you go kill that calf that we've been reserving for this very occasion. And kill it because we're going to celebrate that my son, who was as good as dead, has come back to life. Salvation is in our Father's house. We come to him worthy of nothing. We beg, Lord, just let me be a doorkeeper. Just let me barely be able to see in. And I'm not even worthy of that. And he says, you come and sit. And you be my son. And you enjoy all the privileges and blessings of being my child. Because you were lost. And I found you. You were dead and are alive again. Salvation is in our Father's house. It's the gospel story. For a parent, you remember the first of your children. First words, first steps. And you especially remember when they say, I love you first. Not that they just repeat what you said and say the words back, but out of their own decision, they jump in your arms and put their head on your shoulder and say, I love you, Daddy. It's what God wants from his children. Not those who love because they're afraid of what will happen if they don't. Not those who love only because I think of the reward I get at the end. But who love him because he's our Father and he rescued us and he washed away our sins. And we who were separated, he calls us his children. Would you let the gospel story be your story today? You feel like your life's been a waste? All the blessings God's given you, you've used them on things of the world and squandered them? You feel far away? Then come home. Come home while he's calling. Come home while you have opportunity and the way is available. For Isaiah says, call on him while he's near. Doesn't that indicate a time is coming when it will be too late? Come home to your Father who's waiting with open arms to receive you and to lead the angels in celebration around his throne. Because that which was lost has been found. Let the gospel story be your story right now while we stand up and while we sing.